In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Prayer is baptismal, finding its origin in the triune name of God, which he placed upon you in those waters. It finds its confidence in the fact that in baptism God declares you to be his own beloved child. Prayer clings to and trusts in the words and promises of God by the faith given in the washing of regeneration. Your only access to the Father is being planted into the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. To pray in Jesus' name, then, is to pray with faith in him as the mediator, as the one who gave himself as a ransom for all, even you. If prayer is baptismal, then it's cruciform. Consider Moses in the wilderness. The people were dying in the midst of their sin of grumbling against God and Moses. They besought Moses to intercede on their behalf to the Lord, and he commanded an image of their affliction to be lifted up for their healing. So too has the icon of your curse been lifted up. Not a bronze serpent, but a man of flesh and blood, nailed to the cross. Jesus is lifted up, and all of God's wrath and judgment for your sin is poured out upon him. His prayer in Gethsemane is denied, that your prayer for healing and restoration now be answered. Jesus is himself your ransom. Your full debt is paid, and by his crucifixion, Jesus makes the Father known to you. And he is your mediator with him. Jesus ascends to the Father's right hand to ever intercede for you, pointing to his wounds, to his suffering, to his death. Jesus calls upon the Father to look not at your sins and iniquities, but upon his passion, death, and resurrection. The Father hears his Son's prayer on your behalf, and you go free. Prayer in Jesus' name must be conformed to his person, to his will and work. You can't ask for the suffering and torment of your neighbors and of your enemies in Jesus' name. You can't ask for another's damnation. Now, perhaps you're thinking about the imprecatory Psalms or the Psalms of Lament, but think again about them. Yes, the Psalms lead us to pray, "Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. Strike them down who hate you." But notice how it's always worded. It's not because I hate this person, not because this person has done me wrong, but according to your word, according to your justice, according to your word and promise, O God, be for me who you have said to be. When times are hard, when enemies seem arrayed against me on every side, be faithful to your word and promise. Be for me an avenger. Be for me the one who strikes down and puts to shame all who hate me because they hate you. Fulfill your word and promise according to your will, O Lord. So it is to pray in Jesus' name is to pray as he did in Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. It's to pray, even in the imprecatory Psalms, as he did upon the Holy Cross. Father, forgive them. It's to pray as Jesus himself taught, our Father who art in heaven. And by his grace, by his mercy, your prayers are conformed to Jesus because you are conformed to Jesus as the Spirit joins you to him, to his cross and resurrection in holy baptism. Jesus takes what is yours, sin, death, corruption, guilt, hell, enmity with God, the whole lot of it, into his own body, nails it with himself to the cross, and drowns it in the depths of the font. The barrier of sin which separates you from God is pierced through with those nails and spear into his body. It's obliterated and washed away in the torrential flood of blood and water pouring forth from Jesus' side. You now have access to the Father because you are named with His name and covered in the righteousness of Jesus. You now receive what is His: righteousness, holiness, innocence, blessedness, eternal life, even sonship. Like Jacob receiving Esau's birthright, you receive what is not yours. But unlike Jacob, though, you've committed no theft or fraud. You receive the good things of Jesus, His inestimable benefits of forgiveness, life, and salvation, as a free gift because He loves you. For Jesus conquers death for you. Now you're a new creation in Him. The fruits of faith, prayer, and works of love and mercy, you do simply because that is who you are now in Jesus Christ. St. James calls this liberty. Liberty in the death and resurrection of Jesus for you. So prayer in Jesus' name is also liturgical. It's formed by gathering with the saints. It flows out of the reception of Christ's gifts of word and sacrament. It finds its content in the word of God upon your lips, in speaking back to God what He first spoke to you. You cry out, "Lord, have mercy," and He does. You pray, "Create in me a clean heart and deliver us from evil," and He does. You cry out, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread." And His church on earth endures, and your needs of body and soul are fulfilled. To be a doer of God's word is to pray. And it's no gimmick trying to trick God. It's not found in slogans, fads, or a resolute will. It's not something you do to prove the genuineness of your faith, or something that God denies because you didn't pray hard enough or in the right way. The simple fact is God's word is heard. It enters into you and comes out again. God's word on your lips makes you a doer of His word. He speaks to you, and then you speak His word back to Him. Ask and receive. Ask as a beggar, for nothing is rightly yours because of sin. But more than that, ask as a child, a dear and true child. For in holy baptism, washed in Jesus, you are now God's own beloved child. Your requests are made in boldness and confidence, with no fear, embarrassment, or trepidation. You ask the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. For in Jesus the Father loves you and wants to hear your requests, whatever they may be. That's enough. Beware, however, as the devil tries to twist even this with his lies. The idea that if you don't ask in the right way or for every single thing you need, you'll receive nothing or be found wanting is of the devil. So also that if you pray too much or ask for the wrong things, the Lord will ignore you. We're not talking about the granting of wishes, as though Almighty God were nothing more than a genie or Santa Claus. At the same time, Satan wants you to believe that as long as you pray, you can cut yourself off from the assembly of the saints and from the means of grace and be just fine. Or that it doesn't matter to whom you pray, as long as you do. We hear this most especially as people today say, "I'm not religious, I'm spiritual." What does that mean? You cannot join in prayer and worship with those who worship demons. Repent. Know this, beyond all shadow of a doubt, with all certainty, your heavenly Father knows your needs before you ask Him. He does not grow tired of hearing you, but gives everything you need even if you don't ask. There is only one name given by which you are saved, Jesus. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and he gives that to you in his word and holy sacraments. The devil is a liar. The one who gives you access to the Father silences the liar. He crushed his head. He ransacked his prison and tore down his gates. He burst death apart from the inside. Jesus lives. You have no need to fear anything. In Jesus, the Father loves you. In Jesus, the Father gives you every good thing. So ask to your heart's content. Don't be afraid. The Father loves you. He greatly desires to hear your prayers, even if it is silly or frivolous. You're his dearly beloved child. He loves you. Ask and you will receive. Ask and the Father will hear you. He may not give what you think you need or think you want, but he will give what is best for you, what you truly need, as you need it. Your joy will be full. And if you want to know the answer to your prayer now, look upon the crucifix. Look upon the Son of Man, stripped, stretched out, lifted up, baptized in his own blood and dead. You want health, strength, and joy? There's Jesus upon the cross, rescuing you from sin, death, and the devil. You want wealth and privilege? There's Jesus upon the cross, pouring out the blood and water of the sacraments for you, making a place in his kingdom for you, making you his royal heir. Jesus himself does indeed forgive your sins, strengthen your faith, and guarantee your resurrection as he feeds you with his body and blood. And upon the holy cross, he plainly reveals the Father to you. He who loves you without measure, without end, and will not withhold anything to have you, not even his only begotten Son. For now, though, you live in this dying world. You suffer. Yet ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be full. Ask, and the Father gives his Son into death for your sake. Your sins are forgiven. You shall rise and live eternally. Ask, and the Son fills you with joy by washing you clean by grace and satisfying your hunger with his own body and blood. Your joy is full, and no one can take it from you. Yet the day is coming when you will ask for nothing, for you will be raised from the dead. Until then, pray. Eat, drink, and wait. The Father loves you, for like the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man is lifted up for your sake, and you feast upon him. Your prayer is answered already, as he draws all men, even you, to himself, and your joy is full. In Jesus' name, amen.